It's the book of Psalms tonight, Psalm number 24, please. Psalm 24, and we'll read from verse 1 to the first. We'll read all of the psalm together, verses 1 to 10 of Psalm 24. Verse number 1, the first verse, the Psalm of David, Psalm 24, and verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of God of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. We know the Lord will bless this wonderful psalm tonight to all of our hearts. For this week of prayer that lies before us, I want to consider a few very simple thoughts from this wonderful psalm of David, Psalm 24. Psalm 22 is often referred to as the Psalm of the Cross. It shows us the sufferings of our Savior. It brings us to Calvary, and while Matthew and Mark and Luke and John depict the cross from the standpoint of one that is looking at the cross, Psalm 22 depicts the cross from the standpoint of the one who was nailed upon it. It's the psalm of the cross, the psalm of the suffering Savior. Then the well-known Psalm 23, one of the most well-known of all psalms, has been referred to as the psalm of the crook. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's the shepherd psalm. Jesus Christ said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Scripture refers to him as the great shepherd, and also the chief shepherd. And then Psalm 24, the psalm that we've read together already, could be referred to as the psalm of the crown, because it shows us our Lord Jesus Christ risen and ascended and entering again into glory itself. Verse 7, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. And our Lord tonight reigns victorious. He's no longer on the cross. He's in glory. Psalm 24 is the psalm of the crown, or the psalm of the sovereign. And the words of verse 3 through to verse number 5 have always proved to be a great challenge to me whenever I first read them within the context of the Great Awakening in the Isle of Lewis. The first time I came across these words was reading the biography of the late Reverend Duncan Campbell. And these verses were often quoted during the Great Awakening from 1949 to 1942. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. And the challenge, I believe, that is laid before us tonight to lay hold upon is found in verse number 5, where it speaks about he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. receiving God's blessing. God's blessings are plenteous and bountiful and limitless. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to have this assurance that there are blessings in store for those who will ascend the hill of God. And it is my burden for this week of prayer that each and every child of God who attends any or all of these meetings might be blessed in their own soul. And that you might receive the blessing of the Lord. How vital it is for each and every one of us in our own lives, in our own homes, in our own families, our own circumstances, and in a very real sense within this church, how vital it is that we receive God's blessing. Solomon said, "The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and it addeth no sorrow with it." And the blessing, I believe, that is spoken here is not primarily a physical blessing or a financial blessing, but spiritual blessing. The scripture says that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And there are blessings that only God can give, and we desperately need the blessing, for example, of salvation in our families. We long for the blessing of sanctification in our own lives. We long for the blessing of answered prayer for our church, and we long for the great blessing of revival for our town and for our nation. And I believe that as we consider verse number 5, "He shall receive the blessing of the Lord," there are four factors that figure heavily in receiving God's blessing. And tonight and tomorrow night and Wednesday night and, God willing, and Thursday night, we're going to consider these four factors. And the first factor in receiving God's blessing tonight, very briefly, is this: expectation. There needs to be expectation amongst God's people. I believe that this psalm is directed towards a people who believe that there are blessings to be received from the hand of God. Who shall ascend into the hill of God? Or who shall receive the blessing of the Lord? Those who believe that it's there to be received and therefore make that conscious commitment that they're going to ascend into the hill of God and they're going to stand in the holy place and they're going to endeavor to have clean hands and pure hearts and walk before God with honesty and with sincerity and with conviction. Now I wonder tonight, do we believe that God can bless us? I'm sure we all do believe that He can. But let's take it a little bit further. Do we expect God to bless us? Can we expect God to bless us? It says here, "He shall receive the blessing from the Lord." It doesn't say He might or He could. It says He shall receive the blessing from the Lord. So this is not some sort of spiritual pipe dream that has been laid before us. It's not a carrot being dangled, as it were, in front of a donkey. Something that's there to be seen but never able to be laid hold upon. It's something, I believe, that God is able and willing to give us. Blessings. Whatever those blessings might be. But every Christian ought to be blessed as they strive to go through with God. Why can we expect God to bless us? Certainly not because of anything that we are or anything that we have done, but because of who He is. Because of who the King is, the King of glory, who is mighty in battle, who has defeated sin and death and hell on the cross, and now reigns and rules victorious in glory. All because of Him, because of Christ, we can expect to receive blessing from God's hand. Why can we expect God to bless us? Well, three simple thoughts to leave before you just as we prepare our hearts tonight for prayer. Firstly, because He is able to. We ought to expect God to bless His people because He is able to. Look at verse number 1. "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." God is able. He has made all things by the word of His power, out of nothing. It says in verse 2, He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. God has created all things, and the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns the cattle in 1,000 hills. And every beast of the forest belongs to Him. God does not need anything from any one of us. God is completely self-sufficient and self-satisfied. He has got everything that He needs, and He's well able. He's almighty. And often we struggle, don't we, with unbelief. Like the man we were thinking about last night who had the lunatic son, the demoniac son, talking about it to a brother in the Lord today. And you remember in Mark's Gospel chapter 9, he says, Lord, I believe. And we all believe tonight that God is almighty. And we all believe tonight that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we all believe tonight that He's King. I think if we didn't believe those things, we couldn't even call ourselves Christians at all. And we do believe those things, but we still at the same time struggle, don't we, at times with unbelief. Will God answer my prayer? Will God bless me? Is God able to meet my need? Whenever we face a trial, we face uncertain days, we're filled with worry, we're filled with fear, we maybe even sin and let the Lord down in a terrible manner in our own minds and hearts, and we ask ourselves, is God able to bring me through this, give grace to forgive, or grace to provide, or grace to lead? Sometimes we struggle with unbelief. Do we really believe that God is almighty and that God is all-powerful? Well, He is. He's able. He's able to grant to us great blessings. He promised Abraham and Sarah that they would have a son. And out of that son would come a great nation. And God would enter into a covenant with that nation that would last forever. And with the passing of years, and with their bodies becoming more frail, they thought it would never happen. And then they just began to laugh at the idea that God would ever fulfill this promise in their lives at all. And God saw their laughter, and God heard their laughter, and God came and said to them, Is anything too hard for the Lord? And whenever it seemed that it was completely impossible for God to do anything, physically speaking, humanly speaking, all hope was gone, that's whenever God stepped in. Friends, tonight, God is never in a rush and God is never in a hurry. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. He's the one who set the very stars in their place, who set the planets in orbit, who set all things in motion and spoke all things into existence in moments of time by the word of His power. And all things were created by Him and for Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made, and He's almighty. I wonder tonight, friends, do we really believe it? Do we doubt this somehow that God is able? Do we doubt God's power and God's ability to bless us? And then another reason why we ought to expect the blessing of God is not only because God is able, but I believe as well, God is willing. Do you remember in Genesis 32, whenever Jacob was left alone? And it says at the end of the chapter that there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And that was a pre-incarnate Christ, we believe. That was a Christophany or a theophany. And it was the Lord laying hold upon Jacob. And Jacob wrestled and struggled probably to get away. And then the Lord touched the hollow of his thigh, the strongest part of his body. And a wrestler, often the muscle that they use most, the part of the body they use most is the thigh. And God touched Jacob at his strongest point, and Jacob became a weak man, and yet in his weakness he knew strength, and he laid hold upon this angel of the Lord and said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And was God willing to bless him? Yes, he was. And then in 1 Chronicles 4 we read about a fellow called Jabez, who very simply prayed, and we don't know much about Jabez. We know that he was more honorable than his brethren. We know that he was conceived or born in sorrow. And we also know that he was a man of prayer. And he just prayed very simply, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. That thou wouldest enlarge my coast. and that thy hand might be with me, that thou wouldst keep me from the evil, that it might not grieve me nor thee. Was God willing to bless Jabez? Yes, he was. Was God willing to bless Jerusalem? Yes, he was. Was God willing to bless Judah? Yes, he was. Was God willing to bless Joseph and all of these individuals and people and places? Yes, he was. Now, why would it be any different with us? God is no respecter of persons. See, it Spurgeon said, what God has said to one saint, he has said to all. Whenever God opens his granary door, he might open it so that one starving saint may come and take of his fullness. But in so doing it, he invites all that are hungry to come to the banquet as well. I believe tonight that God is willing. Duncan Campbell said, desire for revival is one thing. Confident anticipation that our desires will be fulfilled is another. Folks, do we believe tonight that God is able? I'm sure we do. But dare we test our faith a little bit more and ask the question tonight, do we believe that God is willing to bless us? Do we doubt God's power and ability, or perhaps do we doubt God's very heart and very character? And then a third and final reason why I believe we can expect the blessing of the Lord is because God promises it. Psalm 115 and verse number 12 says, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. And I was thinking about that little text over the last few days, coming up to this week of prayer, entering into a new year, thinking about my own life. Now, none of us can tell the future, and none of us know what God has in store, but we do know that the Lord is mindful of us. He thinks upon us continually. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The psalmist said that if he could number the very thoughts that God had toward him, he says they are far more than even could be numbered. And God thinks upon his people, that thou shouldest think so much in me, being the God thou art, is darkness to my intellect, yet sunshine to my heart. And the psalmist said there in that Psalm 115:12, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He was full of expectancy. And God promises to bless his people, especially he promises to bless those who will trust and obey. Do you remember the prophecy of Malachi, and just before the Old Testament canon came to a close, the children of Israel had been brought back into the promised land. They had built their temple. They'd built the walls again. But sadly, they'd lapsed back into formalism and lapsed back into a kind of apostasy within the heart. And they had drifted away from God. And yet, because things were still milling over and turning over, they thought that all was well. And the Lord began to challenge them about certain things in their lives. And then he reaches this conclusion. And he says in verse 10 of chapter 3, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there be not room enough to receive it. Has the Lord not promised that he will command blessing whenever brethren and sisters in Christ dwell together in unity and enjoy close fellowship with their federal head, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Of course he has, in Psalm 133. But the devil always wants us to doubt God's word. That's what he said to Adam and Eve. Yea, hath God said. Causing them to doubt God's commandments and also to doubt God's covenant. God really say that? Did you pick it up right? Did God really mean what he said? Can you trust him? All of God's promises, the Apostle Paul said, are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Whenever revival came to the Isle of Lewis, way back all of those years ago, 1949, Two sisters, and some of you know the story, one was called Peggy, one was called Christine, their surname was Smith. One was 82, one was 84, one was blind, one was crippled and crooked with arthritis, and they just prayed that God would send revival. And they'd been doing that for years, along with other people in the islands. And the Reverend Campbell arrived in the islands and was asked that question by the elders of the church at Barvis. Mr. Campbell, are you walking with God? And all he could say was, man, at any rate, I can say that I fear God. And he preached that night in the church in Barvis upon the five wise virgins. Nothing out of the ordinary happened, but there was a sense of expectancy. And then the next night he came back and preached in the same church on the five foolish virgins. And as he was leaving the pulpit, one of the deacons on the aisle of the church stopped him and was circling his finger above his head and says, Mr. Campbell, God is about to break through. And they went outside the church and they stood on the roadside to the small hours of the morning. And then one by one, people began to cry unto God for mercy. And even mature and strong Christians felt the weight of their sin and began to pray for forgiveness. And then as they entered into a sense of assurance, they began to pray for others. And revival came that night to the Isle of Lewis, and it lasted for about 3.5 years. And whenever the minister of that church went to the house of those two old sisters and told them what had happened the night before about how revival had come, one of them said these words. She says, we struggled through the hours of the night, refusing to take a denial. Had he not promised? And would he not fulfill? Our God is a covenant-keeping God, and he must be true to his covenant engagements. Did he fail us? Never. Before the morning light broke, we saw the enemy retreating and our wonderful Lamb taking the field. Expectation. I wonder tonight, do we expect to receive God's blessing tonight, this week, and indeed throughout this year? May God bless his word tonight to your hearts.